Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning to you. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Welcome to the show. If you're new to the show, the difference here is the show focuses on concepts. It gets away from the notion that nutrition today, however cutting edge it is simply a matter of attaching a symptom to an herb like a multiple choice test. And although, of course, these things work to a point, my point to you over 20 years of clinical practice is if you just got a little bit more involved, got a little bit more educated, you'd start to see how the human body is this divine, intricate, complex web of relationships. And what you're really doing, if you care about your health, is becoming the orchestrator of all these relationships. Now, that's a cutting-edge notion because, you see, it goes against the grain of the culture. We're getting busier and busier. And really, the smart money is on finding a smart doctor to do it all for you, but it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way any more than, well, where you put your money, right? If you don't have a little education about where you put your money and you trust the wrong person, then what happens? Just talk to the people that Bernie Madoff ripped off, right? And that's the concept. You got to reach deeper. So today we're going to discuss something you've all heard about, estrogen. Everyone knows about estrogen, and everybody's got some concept of estrogen metabolism. My point to you is it links to all disease. Estrogen and unhealthy estrogen metabolism drives disease and health in more ways than you know. So today's show, I want to deepen that understanding. As always, if you can, get to the website. If you're new to the show, we're picking up a few more radio stations today. So if you're new to the show, make sure you get to the website. That's straighttalk2t.cc. And if you can, if it's feasible, follow the broadcast today off the website. That's straighttalk.cc. All right, wonderful. Assuming you're on the website, let's talk about estrogen. Number one, look at this article I pulled, peer-reviewed, highly scrutinized article, not a nutritional tidbit article. Not something out of Vanity Fair, but out of the research journals. Click to view the full article, top of the pictures there, on estrogen and inflammation. Just click that one on. We're not going to eat this up, go through it in detail, but I just want to throw something out to you. Now look at this. Developing a marker of exposure to xenoestrogen mixtures in human serum. Developing a marker of exposure to xenoestrogens mixtures in human serum. What is that saying? It's saying that, ladies, especially, that the estrogen that pops out of your ovaries, and God bless it, right? Every single second of every single minute of your breathing organism, that estrogen is being competed with by estrogen mimic chemicals that are flying in from the air, that are coming in on your skin from your makeup, etc., your perfumes, your soaps, your hair conditioners, your shampoos, men, the aftershave lotions, the shaving creams, the hair tonics, the same soaps, the dishwashing detergents. It's coming in through the air, through the skin, through the food, especially the dairy, but the vegetables too, the fruits. Lots of the pesticides are xenoestrogenic. What this article is saying, and we're going to go back to it later, but I wanted to open with this, is that we're looking for markers to measure the amount of it in your body because it's combining with your estrogen. And estrogen combined with estrogen is a big problem. Now, why is that? Why is superestrogen such a big problem? Well, there's another article there, okay? And that article, click to view the full article on measuring xenoestrogens. Click to view the full article on what we call measuring xenoestrogens. And we got a little typo here today, so we'll go with this article. Okay, let's stay with this article. It's been hypothesized that the environmental estrogens may play a role in the increasing incidence of breast cancer and other problems in the reproductive system. Now, we're not going to go through this article, but as you go through the article, what it's going to point out to you, here, go down to the introduction just a little bit below. So scroll down until you see the word introduction. Xenoestrogens include several lipophilic, that means fat-soluble, persistent compounds to which humans and wildlife have been exposed. Now, we study this not just for humans, but we really study it for the animals, because the animals out there in those toxic lakes and rivers, toxic bays, inlets, they can really get bombarded with these chemicals. So a lot of the vets and the biologists that study wildlife study this, but of course it's not that separate from the human issue. So we're studying these from two angles, and what we're saying is that they get stored in the fat. We're getting exposure, and this article only talks about some of these synthetic chemicals. Insecticides, including DDT and its metabolites, PCBs. If you've ever heard of bisphenol A, I mean, the list is endless. I list a bunch of them on the website. We'll get to that a little bit later. But this article is talking about a way to measure them. Guess what? These toxic estrogens that come in the ways I cited, that add to your estrogen, that grow things in your body, begin the inflammatory process before toxic estrogen begins to grow things like cancers, before it makes your period the period from hell, before it gives you endometriosis, men, before it starts to atrophy your testicles, before it starts to fail you when you work out in a gym to make those muscles big and strong, they start getting flabby. The breast muscles, the pectoral muscles, start sagging and you don't understand why. Before the prostate blooms out into BPH, before you go towards prostatic cancer. Before the toxic estrogens grow things in your body, they inflame the tissue. And that's the point there. All disease begins with the inflammatory process. So you see, it's a little bit superfluous in a way to start talking about different diseases. Why should we talk about cancer? Why should we talk about lupus? Why should we talk about rheumatoid arthritis? Why should we talk about IBS? Why should we talk about endometriosis? Why should we talk about disease when it becomes disease, when it all begins with the same inflammation? And this is where we're not getting it. We're not getting really that what we ought to be doing is developing markers, developing testing modalities, developing connections to your body that tell you where you are in that inflammatory gamut, in that inflammatory pendulum. And we've got some blood markers, but they're marginal. You can't entrust CRP, and you can't entrust different markers, antioxidant panels, to give you a real sense of how developed you are along an inflammatory marker and along the inflammatory scale. You've got to trust more than anything a cultivated, sustainable connection to your body. The body knows. Now, this isn't hogwash. This isn't quackery. This isn't esoteric. But you've got to consider that holistic medicine arose out of traditions many hundreds of years ago, long before we had markers in labs, which is not to say we shouldn't pursue it that way. But it is to say that if we're going to talk about toxic estrogen, if we're going to talk about the disease that dysregulations in estrogen metabolism can create, and if we're going to talk about well, where are you in the pendulum and how can you approach it holistically, then we're going to have to talk about the ways we did it before we had markers. And that leaves you your senses, that connection to your body. Now, if you know this show, my regular audience knows, is that my point is that connection to your body is something you cultivate over time. The very essence of what we call holistic medicine is to create relationship with your body so you hear its signals. And this is a wonderful time to apply that concept. Let's get back to that later. And let's bring the concepts together. Estrogen combined with toxic estrogen creates an inflammatory process, and that will send the disease process off wherever your genetic tendencies make it go. So when you get that breast cancer and you don't get endometriosis, when you get lupus instead of endometriosis, wherever you defect in the inflammatory gamut, driven by estrogen nonetheless, is a matter of your genetics. And yet, to just put it on the back of your genes to basically find out you have lupus, scleroderma, breast cancer, prostate cancer, and to leave it on the back of, well, that's just your genetics, when the genetic defect is just the end chain of the reaction. To put it on the back of genetics, when the genetic tendency has to be exploited by relentless, consistent, faulty estrogen metabolisms, is a big mistake. And that's what we do too often in allopathic or Western medicine. You go to the doctor, you find out the bad news, you're optimistic that there's something you can do about it, and then somebody in the white coat tells you, well, we can drug you, but there's side effects and they're not pleasant, so think about it. And by the way, in terms of causality, it's nothing more than your genetics. And that's where they leave you. And that's a terrible feeling because it's fatalistic. It's just like tough luck on you. And they call that good science. It's not good science. Good science is to understand the toxic estrogen, xenoestrogens, all of which we're going to get into much more deeply, are really, as they metabolize in your body, under your control, so that you can bring down that unfortunately momentous event where some gene gets triggered and there's a big boo-boo going on. Not to mention the prospect of reversing that genetic sequence. Lots of genetic sequences. When we say we trigger a gene and we initiate a disease in this fatalistic sense, it's fatalistic if you do nothing. So you got to catch the scam there. Or I should say the slant or the prejudice. When you're told you can do nothing because it's genetic, all that really means is, in the experience of the person giving you the opinion over 10 to 20 to 30 years of watching people with that diagnosis, that cancer, that Parkinson's, that Alzheimer's, that autoimmune disease, in the experience of that doctor, once you get that disease, it's progressively degenerative. And since, of course, everyone believes that, and since, of course, no one does anything about it or doesn't do anything about it that's effective, that doctor will feel very good about saying, look, I've done this. I've been rheumatology. I've been oncology. I've done this 20, 30 years. I've never seen this get better. I only see it get worse. So there's nothing to do. You combine that with the genetic fault on that. In other words, that combine that with the notion that it's in your genes, and they're nailing the coffin that day they give you the diagnosis. Well, we're knocking a hole in that, aren't we? Because we're saying, number one, when we talk about the toxic effects of estrogen and xenoestrogens, one, there's ways to reduce the amount. Two, we're working on ways to measure them. Right now, we actually don't have great ways to measure the amount of it in your body. And I'm going to show you some sites here. Doc Plechner is his name. He's working on one. Not quite sure if he's figured it out. There's controversy around it. But I can show you this, and I did. We're looking with the hard science We have research being done presently to measure the amounts of these things. And that's one step you can take. Now, let's continue and let's expand on this. All right. So here we go to picture number one. Picture number one. There you are. A little slow coming up today. Xenoestrogen hormones, drugs, are given to animals to increase their growth and fatten them for our consumption. Our water supply contains xenoestrogens. And, of course, if you're filtering your water, fantastic. If you're not, you're drinking it perhaps in plastic bottles. And in the heat, the xenoestrogen and the plastic melt into the water, and we promote the problem. That aside, conventionally raised meat, like when you eat in a restaurant, and dairy, plastics, cans, bottles, many of which contain BPA, bisphenol A, instead use glass. The nonstick pans, the Teflon pans, you read through these yourself. I'm not going to spend the show reading to you these squares. But what you're going to find out is you've got to take some very, very drastic actions that begin with knowing where these things come into your body. And there's solutions once you know. If you're on plastics, go to glass. If the water you're drinking, my God, I can't imagine, isn't filtered, what are you doing? And if you're drinking it out of the bottles, make sure those bottles are glass. Ladies with makeups, tons of the xenoestrogens come in through the makeups. Tons. What woman doesn't gloat over the newest hair conditioner? Only to find out that hair conditioners, shampoos, those wonderful fragrances we give our shampoos, those deodorants, those hairsprays, those perfumes, filled with this stuff, they get in through the skin as much as when we ingest them. Go to picture four. Everyone's exposed to hormones from the environment. How many women get buried once a month with those periods? Those cycles. How many women are on the birth control pill? How many women are using IUDs, which are like a metal antenna in the uterus that completely throw off the hormonal balance? And we're going to get into that one later. How many women are in menopause bleeding out and being told that you're bleeding out with such intensity that we're going to have to take your uterus out, which, ladies, by the way, will shrink your ovaries and put you in menopause faster than you're supposed to go into menopause. If you want to get old fast, just cut the uterus out. Now, sometimes, well, it's just a vital moment. Sometimes you have to. But for bleeding out during menopause, to be told that your only option is to cut out a uterus when it's going to shrink the ovaries, and it will shrink the ovaries. It will hurt your ovaries. And when you look at the effect of toxic estrogen on how women bleed out during menopause, that is an eye-opener. The word is called estrogen dominant. Estrogen dominant, and the book is by John Lee, What Your Doctor May Not Have Told You About Premenopause and Menopause, two different books, landmark books. Didn't put them on the show today, but remember the titles. That's John Lee. Now, he doesn't have the cure-all, but he helped a lot of women simply getting people to understand the term estrogen dominance. That meaning that as your estrogen and progesterone levels fall, ladies, as you get older, as you approach menopause and beyond, as those estrogen and progesterone levels fall, the progesterone falls faster. And because the progesterone falls faster, the estrogens go unchecked. They're falling too, but the progesterone's falling faster. Now, in a perfect world, as the estrogens are falling, but the progesterones are falling faster, John Lee suggested to rub a little progesterone in to bring the balance back to those two hormones. And lo and behold, that helped and still helps today tons of women. But here's the flip to that. So now you're integrating with me, and that's the purpose of the show, to integrate. if your estrogen level is toxic estrogen, not just your estrogen, but all the garbage xenoestrogens from the millions of places and ways you're taking them in, then that's not going to work. You know, I say it and you understand it, and I know you do kind of, but then everybody, you know, it cracks me up. It really just cracks me up. Why are we putting so much faith in these hormone panels? Think about this. You guys into holistic medicine especially, think about this. Think about the fact that you're going to go off to your holistic practitioner, your holistic MD, your holistic OBG, and get those wonderful hormonal creams, right? You're going to go to some big shot that's going to do an intense panel, and you're going to get your testosterone and your DHA and your pregnenolone, DHEA and your pregnenolone, and your estradiol, your estriol, your estrone, your progesterone. And they're going to tell you, based on these blood panels or salivary panels, that now we got it all balanced out. Here's the fact. No panel measures the xenoestrogens. That's why I put that article on. I'm looking for one. Maybe this guy, Dr. Plechner, has figured something out. But by and large, there's no lab that measures the xenoestrogenic content of your blood. There's no lab that measures it in the urine. There's no lab. So let me ask you a question then. When you go to your holistic doctor for those biocompatible hormones to balance out your progesterone and your estrogen, and they're not including the barrel full of toxic xenoestrogens circulating, what good are those numbers? And that's my point. We have a real problem with this. Right now, unfortunately, the way we're functioning is, when all else fails, just point your finger at the toxic estrogens. When all else fails, when you can't, ladies, get it figured out hormonally. You know, a lot of people, a lot of women may not know anything about hormones or science or anything, but they all know hot flashes. They all know women's problems. They all know that time of the month when they don't stand up for a few days. So the word hormone and female is something somewhere along the line everybody comes into contact with, whether it's a bereaving husband or the woman herself. And so you do understand then about hormones. What we have emerging in American society today, I sit here behind my desk and see it more and more and more and more, thus the show, is just like these articles are suggesting, that the inflammatory processes and the subsequent hormonal imbalances driven by the toxic estrogens are driving inflammatory processes that are on a search and destroy mission, on a search and destroy mission for where your genes are defective, you, specifically you. And this is why I entitled the show today, Estrogen Metabolism, How It Links to All Disease. Okay, I'm feeling you. You're getting it. I put some neat pictures on. Go to the top of the page. Click to view the full article on estrogen binding 3D. Estrogen binding 3D. See that gorgeous picture there in the blue? Click on that picture because then it enlarges. So you're going to the article on the top, estrogen binding 3D. If you're new to the show and just tuned in, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not doc.com. That's straighttalk.cc. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We're getting into the innards of estrogen metabolism. There's a big cell. There's the center of that blue cell. Those spirals, those are protein. Those are proteins, the purple and the green. They look like spaghetti, all curdled up. Those are proteins that are being coded for through the messenger RNA that's being signaled from that double helical structure, that yellow sort of gold configuration, is the DNA. And those little balls there are estrogen. Those little balls are estrogen molecules, say estradiol, binding into the double spiral staircase there, that gold, binding to the DNA through receptor sites. And once that union occurs between the DNA and the receptor site, a messenger RNA goes out and codes for the formation of a protein. And your lips get thicker, your breasts get bigger, your muscles get stronger, your hair gets thicker. All those wonderful things that estrogen does start to happen. And of course, our point is, guess what's competing with that estrogen? Doing the same thing. Estrogen mimic chemicals that are coming in from everywhere. But I love that picture, don't you? All right, let's keep going. Let's go to picture number eight. Just to tell you, that's the ZRT Labs. ZRT Labs measure your estrogen, your progesterone, your hormones in the saliva. That's a better, more precise test. David Zava, a chemist at ZRT Labs in Oregon, makes that claim. I think that claim is well substantiated. And ZRT Labs, you can access as the public ZRT Labs through picture number 6. Canary Club, hormone testing. Go online and look at Canary Club. The thing I'm getting into lab testing. I've decided now to find specialty labs, meaning not LabQuest and not LabCorp, not the general labs, but what we have, because so many wonderful PhDs can't get a good job, are specialty labs cropping up throughout the United States where chemists, biochemists, cell biologists, so on and so forth, are carving niches into society, measuring things that the standard labs won't measure. And there's no law against it. An informed public can take it to another level. And this is happening more and more. And I am definitely on this bandwagon. Because just as I pointed out with measuring xenoestrogens, I mean the fact that we can earmark xenoestrogens as being one of the big drivers behind disease, and yet our labs are not offering us every single year, insurance paid no less, an opportunity to find out how much of that garbage is circulating in our blood, that is ridiculous. So, as always, in a free economic society, we have entrepreneurs who are trying to solve the problems. Well, one thing that's shifted in our favor now is you can go online to request a test, requestatest.com, and you can order directly. You're going to pay cash for this. In other words, you pay out of your pocket. Insurance is not going to cover this. But if you need a blood test that your doctors don't want to give you because their hands are tied with the medical model, for not a lot of money, you can go on to request a test and order the lab yourself directly. Canary Club is a salivary, is a company, is an agency, is an institution that will allow you to get your hormones measured in the saliva. And they work in conjunction with ZRT Labs. It's important for you to know. Go to picture 10. Your body makes three main types of estrogen: diol, estriol, estrone. The aggressive one, the one that makes it happen, is estradiol. Okay? The things that mimic estradiol are why things get out of control. Now, if we've got your attention here and your mindset's going to, okay, fine, I get it, I believe it, I'm not fascinated so much with science, but I am fascinated with health, and I want to know what to do about it. Well, the first thing you do about it is understand it. So back to you. All right, you've got to understand it. Lots of people want to know what to do about it. I'm telling you, that cliff note mentality does not work. I call it the cliff note generation. I call it the cliff note mentality. I see it all the time. It doesn't work. It's not, okay, cut to the chase, what do you do? That doesn't work. That'll get you to second base if you're lucky. The mentality that gets you there is to honor your body as a temple, to get fascinated with what God put there. See, you can't say God, right? It's not politically correct to talk about xenoestrogens and bisphenol A and God in the same word, right? Well, you that listen to this show know the hack behind that, right? Well, if you're new to the show, and if you're not, I'll repeat myself. In the 1700s, Descartes, French guy, made a deal with the Vatican. And the deal was to basically fix the problem that started with Galileo, Tycho Brahe, Giordano Bruno. When science challenged the Vatican in the 1500s, and the dispute went on for 150 years, all the way to France in the 1700s, Descartes made a deal with the Vatican, and it basically said, the Vatican takes care of spirituality, and science has nothing to do with that. And we shifted from an alchemical interpretation of the world to a purely scientific one. And that's what reigns strong today. You can't bring your discussion to science. If you can't see it, if you can't touch it, if you can't feel it, if you can't measure it, if you can't develop a technology that can reproduce it, it ain't there. That is a massive mistake. That destroys science. Because the reality, if you study Einstein, if you study Tesla, if you study Newton, they were all alchemists. All of them were alchemists. None of them believed in that garbage. None of them believed that there was no spiritual force in the cosmos directing the science. None of them believed that. But we've created quite a quandary today. You know, months ago, I was sitting with a young lady. She just took her doctorate from USC in molecular bio. And we were talking about ovarian cancer. And I was giving her the reasons, and she was listening. And she said to me, you know, if I went into my lab tomorrow and started touting that stuff, they'd take my PhD away. Well, they can't. But what she meant is they'd throw her out of the organization. And they'd throw her out because she was sounding like a spiritualist. I want you in my audience today to understand that scientists, medical doctors, are trained by their standard of care to keep that spiritual talk out of science because it has no place in reality. And you have to understand the net effect of this. As Christians, you have to understand the net effect of this. As people who believe in God, Christian and otherwise, you have to understand the net effect of this. The net effect is when your intuitive faculty is telling you something's a certain way, we have relinquished our right to stand by that and simply allow someone who's scientific to tell us we're all imagining that. We're not feeling what we're feeling in our body. And that it has no bearing on reality, and that studies show otherwise and do what the studies say. Well, those studies are going to change every 5 years because some new scientist is going to get funded. So, yes, I detoured for a moment with great purpose. With great purpose because we're getting ripped off. You see, we're being betrayed in the soul about as deeply as you can be betrayed. By a paradigm that was only the product of a deal that Descartes made with the Vatican to settle a problem that started with the execution of Giordano Bruno, that went to the imprisonment of Galileo, all for clinging to beliefs. You know, Galileo was a deeply, deeply devout Catholic that simply saw the sun as the center of the solar system. And for that, he was imprisoned. For that, Giordano Bruno had his head cut off. I went to St. Robert Bellarmine Grammar School in New York City in the 60s. St. Robert Bellarmine, Cardinal Bellarmine, was the guy that ordered the execution of Giordano Bruno, had his head cut off because he would not take it back. I love that stuff, don't you? To know why you think the way you think, to learn where you're getting ripped off, and where what's being told to you is science has nothing to do with science. All right, let's go to picture 13. All right, picture 13. We're talking about the feedback loop. We're talking about the feedback loop, the hormonal feedback loop, the feedback loop between estrogen, the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and the nervous system. And what we're saying is when we say estrogen metabolism, we're not just talking estrogen. We're talking about a cycle. And here's another picture to reinforce that perception. Picture 14. We're saying that the ovary makes estrogen, and for that matter, progesterone. And that when those levels go up or down, it is sensed. It's figured out by a center way up in your brain called the hypothalamus. And that hypothalamus senses, let's say, case in point, it senses that your estrogen is too low because you worked out and you're a teenager and you want to grow your muscles big to keep that scholarship on the UCLA track team. And you're all happy about it, naturally, because your parents are spared the burden of the financing. So you want to keep those muscles big so you can perform for the team, so you can keep your scholarship. And your estrogen levels drop because you use it all. Well, they get low. The hypothalamus picks up the signal, sends a message through the gonadotropic releasing hormone to the pituitary. The pituitary flips it on out through the follicle-stimulating hormone to the ovary, and lo and behold, you make more estrogen in that ovary. Now, let's just say those muscles get big enough. If that estrogen doesn't shut off, you're going to look like the Hulk. Your fellow female athletes are going to think you're a man. And so when that estrogen gets too high, the hypothalamus picks it up again, senses it. We'll talk about that later. That's another piece of it. That sensing of the hypothalamus can go south. The hypothalamus can get stupid. That's a whole other issue as it relates to estrogen metabolism. But for now, the hypothalamus senses your estrogen's too high, and it reduces its stimulus to the pituitary. So the pituitary reduces its stimulus through FSH, the follicle stimulating hormone, to the ovary. And guess what? Your estrogen level goes down, meaning your ovary stops making it. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, a million times a second. Who knows? You're talking big numbers here, 10 to the 50th. You're talking light speed. You're talking all day long. This feedback loop is determining how much estrogen you're going to be making based upon the demands of your body. That's fascinating to me. And it's fascinating to you. And if it wasn't, now it is. That's the feedback loop. Now, I'm going to expand on that a little more. Go to picture 15. The CNS, central nervous system, hypothalamic pituitary ovary uterus interaction. That's what I just talked about, the feedback loop. Every hormone, by the way, is part of this feedback loop. The adrenals, the testosterone, It's all part of feedback loops. The thyroid, the hormones out of the pancreas. Feedback loops determine how much you make. Now, we put a word in here, CNS, central nervous system. Look at that picture. Again, look at what picture? Look at picture 15. Look at that. I told you, if you're new to the show asks you to think. If you have a headache already, relax, because all these shows are archived. Check the show. This show is going to be recorded, thrown on the website. You can listen to it 100 times. And lots of people do. I applaud them because you'll really learn what we're talking about. Because if you think you're going to straighten out your estrogen issue with an estrogen cream, you're being deceived. That's like putting out a forest fire with a water pistol. It doesn't work. You can't knock it, right? You don't want to be negative. Can't be negative. It's politically incorrect to be negative. When the house is falling down, don't say the house is falling down. Say, what could we do to put the house back up rapidly? You see? It's politically incorrect to say things like, the house is falling down, and if you don't do something about it in the next day, you're not going to have a house. Not allowed to say that. At least in the corporations, you're not, right? No one's allowed to bring bad news. Even if you say bad things, you got to say them with an optimistic voice. So I'm going to say it optimistically. If you think that an estrogen cream is going to change your estrogen metabolism, I think you did something great. But you have to understand that it's a much bigger picture. And that's why you listen to this show, to get the bigger picture, to cut to the chase. So, look at that picture. CNS to hypothalamus, not clear. You see what it says? CNS to hypothalamus, not clear. Guess what that means? We haven't figured out how all the worrying you do, all the anxiety, all the vagus nerve compression, all the things that have to do with the crazy world you live in and the stress you incur from living, we haven't figured out how it affects the hypothalamus and thus your hormonal system, but we know it does. We know it does. We know that when you're sitting there in traffic and you're spending 2 to 3 hours a day in traffic to get to a job that you may not even like, that that's affecting your period every month. It's affecting your fertility. It's affecting your endometriosis, your polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's affecting the flow of your period. It's affecting your menopause. It's affecting your fibroids. It's affecting your love life. It's affecting your libido. It's affecting your pregnancy. It's affecting everything. But we just don't know how. That connection between stress on the freeway, stress in the marriage, stress to survive, stress to pay your bills on time. We know it's going to affect your breast cancer, but we don't know how. Look at that. I think that's exciting, don't you? When was the last time you went to a doctor with a lump in your breast? And you found out, unfortunately, it was the big C. And then you found out, fortunately, the lump was well marginated, actually partially calcified, and they were sure they were going to get it all, just take a little nip out of the breast. You didn't need chemo. You didn't need radiation. You didn't need anything, even though some nut in the background suggested that you cut out every organ in your body just in case it could come back in 10 years. When was the last time you got a diagnosis like that? And the doctor said, this is estrogen receptive, and it's got a lot to do with stress. No one says that. No one says that. You may read about it, but in the day-to-day, the standard of care of medicine leaves that out. It's right here. It's in front of you. It's telling you that the feedback loop around your sex hormones, estrogen being focused on presently, has some connection between the CNS, the central nervous system. They mean the autonomic nervous system. They mean the sympathetic, parasympathetic balance. And all of you, my regular audience, knows what nerve delivers the parasympathetic flow to the ovary. to vagus, as in Las Vegas, no, V-A-G-U-S nerve, the vagus nerve. So there's some connection between centers of your brain that have to do with stress, the vagus nerve, and these feedback loops. And if those centers are off, okay, I'll take it to another. Your cortisol, your adrenal cortex starts making high cortisol, which screws up your thyroid and your estrogen.
Whoa.
Now you're floored. Now you do have a headache. Because we can't talk about estrogen unless we talk about cortisol, stress, the vagus nerve. Later, I'll bring in the liver. Then I'm going to bring in a few other things. But forget it. Just put that cream on. Everything will be good. Even though we're not measuring the xenoestrogens, which control more of your estrogen cycle than your estrogens. Man. Look, this is good. If you have a headache right now, that's good. Because it'll go away. Because you're just broadening your perceptions. And after the dust clears, you will relax more. You're getting closer to reality. Reality never betrays you. Delusion betrays you. Illusion betrays you. Simplification about things that go deep betray you. Thinking that information is data collection instead of the gravity to which you attach yourself to a concept betrays you. But reality never betrays you. So, the autonomic nervous system is connected to this feedback loop. You got to keep that in mind. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Hope you're enjoying it. Welcome to the new radio shows we're hitting today, different parts of the United States. Those of you who just stream the show from all over the world, welcome. All right, let's keep going. Picture 16, is this you? Is this you in picture 16? Yes, it is. Come on. I think it's like one out of every four people that comes into my office clenches like that all night. Kiss your estrogen metabolism behind if you clench. Kiss it goodbye if you clench like that. I know you don't. It's someone that I'm not talking to that does. If you clench, that's a big deal. Clenching and the hormonal system and estrogen metabolism are a big deal. Dr. Medici, can you prove through one peer-reviewed clinical article, double placebo, double blind study, done first with rats, mice, dogs, and monkeys, and then with human beings, what you're saying? No, I can't. I'll just come right up front and say it. I can't. But anybody that's not blind that watches problems with estrogen metabolism and its uncanny relationship to women or men that clench knows something's going on. And after that, I'm going to send you to osteopathy and chiropractic. First, osteopathy, you see, because they're kind of like MDs. And if you listen to them, Andrew Still, Fulford, Upledger, U. Milne, they'll tell you that when you clench, you throw off the cranium. When the cranium is thrown off, you compress the sphenoid and the hypothalamus and the pituitary, those central junction boxes of the hormonal system which control the endocrine system, don't function right. So there. You can argue it out with them. And when you want to pay us, some of us, enough money to take a year off to prove this in a double-blind, placebo-controlled study, blah, 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 then you're going to find these things. Until then, until the National Institute of Health is going to cough up the dough, no one's going to do it. You got to remember, a lot of people that are into this holistic stuff, myself included, in a way we couldn't care less about people who aren't into it. I mean, we do care, but we don't care. But if you're going to ask us to take a year off to prove something that a lot of you people aren't going to believe anyway, we don't care. We're too busy helping people. And that's really the way it works. Now, that's a problem. It is an admitted problem. But these things take time. Remember, 40 years ago, we didn't even have this stuff. They were still putting chiropractors in jail 60 years ago. Osteopaths? Who even knows what an osteopath is? So you got to keep it in the context of social history. Look, in the 1930s, something like 50%, some very high percentage of all your surgeons were being educated on weekends in barns, literally on farmhouses in the 30s and the 20s. So you got to keep the social context in mind. If you can even follow this, you are way ahead of yourself. Back to the main point. If you clench, you are going to affect your hormonal system. Picture number 18, TMJ syndrome, the overlooked diagnosis. Read that one. It'll tell you. Picture 19. Doesn't that look like Leonard DiCaprio? But it's not. Maybe it's Leonard DiCaprio when he clenches. I don't know. But if you look like that, check your hormonal levels. Picture 20. There's the vagus nerve. Note that it's near the jaw. When you clench, you compress the vagus nerve. Look at picture 21. You see that vagus nerve? That's all the organs it goes to, and not all of them. It goes everywhere. So there's a compression occurring when you clench that structurally compresses the vagus, that cramps up the hypothalamus, and collectively, you can't get your feedback loop balanced. On to the liver. Your wonderful liver. Your liver has a great deal to do with your estrogen metabolism. Because after your estrogen is utilized in the cell, the liver takes it, cuts it up, and recycles it. And if the liver doesn't do that well, then there's too much. Go to picture 27. There's too much of the bad estrogen, the 16-alpha-hydroxyestrone. Estrogen metabolites are problematic. So estrogen, good. Estrogen metabolites, bad. Estrogen metabolites have to get conjugated in the liver and then thrown into the bile ducts. And those of you who say, yes, I flush my liver, good. You get bile, good. But you got to conjugate first. Conjugation's a chemical process. It demands lots of other aspects of liver function. How are those aspects doing? If the total amount of stress to the liver is overwhelming to the liver, you will conjugate slower. So if you're estrogenic, if you live with enough toxic estrogen, and you're trying to regulate your estrogen metabolism and throw that 16-hydroxy out, you can't, even if the bile ducts are relatively open, if your liver's just got too much to do. Once again, everything is connected to everything. 714-850-1007. Wherever you are, across the United States, across the globe, in whatever city, 714-850-1007. Give us a call, make the appointment, and we'll see if we can get your head on straight and focused in the right direction. I have one request. Be serious about your health. Be willing to attach to the larger concept. Be happy to take your problem, your health concern, and look at it as a blessing, no matter how bad it is. Look at it as a blessing, as the beginning of an inquiry into you to find out how to regulate those wonderful systems that God put there, using all the wonderful tools that God put there. 714-850-1007. Let's continue. Let's continue. There, picture 31. Get that air purifier, the IQ air purifier. That's the one that gets the tiny particulate matter. A buddy of mine years ago turned me on to that. He was taking his master's degree in public health. And in public health, towards that degree, they spend a lot of time studying about once you get close enough to a freeway, how bad it is. I mean, your disease incidence is if you live within some radius of a freeway. Those people that live 2, 3, 4 blocks, those people with freeways in their backyard, wow. Does the disease rate skyrocket? Get that, because it takes out the small particulate matter. Get it no matter where you are. Picture 32, Myomin. Picture 33, Xenostat. Picture 34, Astroflavone. Three wonderful supplements that do different things. Xenostat are the sea vegetables which bind up the toxic estrogens. Estroflavone, diindidyl methane, I put it there on picture 35. Cinnamon is an aromatase inhibitor. Myomin is an aromatase inhibitor. Three herbs that are aromatase inhibitors. What are aromatase inhibitors? Picture 36. Aromatase inhibitors take the testosterone that will otherwise become estradiol, which you don't want, and it'll take your pregnenolone derivatives, your androdiones, and it will block them from becoming toxic estrogen. Three solutions herbally. Nothing wrong with herbs if you have the right perspective. Now, let's go back to the beginning of the show. Estrogen metabolism. Your PMS, your fibroids, and how it links to all disease. And this is the point of the show. So God bless you if you got the point of the show. The point of the show is estrogen is not estrogen, is not estrogen, is not estrogen. Estrogen is a concept. It's a concept. It's not a single plain word to be remedied purely by a cream. It's a concept that begs you to deepen your relationship with it. Bravo. 714-850-1007 if you're still confused. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.